Now, we have snow on the ground right now. But I suspect that all of us have seen some little creatures throughout the warmer months that are now safe and snug under the ground. And what kind of creatures are they? Ants. Do you like ants? Not too much. You don't invite them to your picnic? Does your mom like them in the kitchen? No? All right. Well, yes. All right. I think sometimes we do some pretty bad things to ants. But you know, the Bible tells us that ants have something to teach us. The book of Proverbs has these wonderful words, but four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. And all we're looking at is the first of those wise things, the ants. They're the ants, the locust, the lizard, and the coney, which is kind of like a rabbit with short ears. But we're just going to focus on the ant this morning because, you see, the scripture says ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up food in the summer. Why? Could they eat right now? Absolutely not. All the food is covered with snow. So they are wise because they prepare for the future. Now, I have several children. Your mom and dad say, study hard, prepare for the future. Yes, they do. And do you think it's good for them to say that? Yes, it is. Do you like to study hard? Not too much, but it's still good. It's still good, still important. And we just had a fire drill just in case. We are preparing for the future. And those who are sitting down here, they came with coats. I hope enough warmth, just in case. Maybe we'll have to provide blankets or something. Maybe you can sneak out and get somebody else's coat off of the coat rack. And we have insurance of all kinds. Have you noticed how insurance works? And so you buy just in case. So I have car insurance. And the vehicle that I have, I just replaced the windshield for the fifth time on it. Can you believe that? In 3 years? So, do you believe in luck? I don't believe in luck. So I'm saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? But the insurance actually helps. So that instead of paying at the way it is now, over $1,000, I only had to pay just a small sum of $300. I'm saying, Lord, help. So, and we are asked the question, what have you put away for retirement, right? What have you done? And we know it's important to plan. However, there is this matter of really thinking about your future, you see? And so we need to use the right measuring stick. You see, are you prepared to live forever? How long are you going to live for, Rick?
Hopefully 90 years.
No, you're going to live forever. I just told you the answer. Come on. So, like it or not, we all are going to live forever. Okay? And so life insurance actually reminds us of a reality that we're all going to die physically, but we don't like to think about what's beyond that. And so you know that there are a lot of folk out there who say, well, what's your plan for eternity? And what will they say? Well, really, it's some version of swallow hard and hope for the best, because you really haven't thought about it. Does that sound like a good plan to you? No, it isn't. The open secret of Jesus and the scriptures is very, very clear. And we have to accept two facts. The first fact is that we are all going to die and leave this life. Do you know what the death rate is in Huron County? 100%. Better be prepared. If you are thinking about the future and preparing for the future, you need to accept that. The second thing is that you have to accept is that you are going to live forever, and the decisions you make in this life affect what happens in the next life, you see? It's very simple, very clear. We don't make it complicated. Now, I want you to turn around. Now, I can't see you upstairs to see if you're actually listening, but what I want you to do is to turn around and look at other people around you. Can you do that? And you can do that here right now as well. All right? And what do you see? What do you see?
Smiling faces.
Smiling faces. Okay. What else do you see? A human being. Okay. Not a human carrot, but a human being. Okay. Okay. What else do you see? What does God see? He sees an eternal being, a being that will live forever, a being that someday will be revealed in glorious light. You see? So sometimes we have this kind of blinder on our eyes, and we only see these bodies, which in some cases are better looking than others. Some of us fret whenever we look in the mirror, but beyond that, when we look at one another through the eyes of God, we are to see preachers of light, because that is our destiny. You and I will live forever. Your life is more than a few short years. And so we are reminded of that in the psalm that most of us know really well as the Shepherd's Psalm. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. And our destiny is to be like Jesus. We are told very clearly that when we see him, we shall be like him. That's what you and I are in the process of becoming, unless we have failed to make a key decision. Now, how long is forever? Who's got an idea of how long is forever? All right. So can you all see the picture on the screen? Do you see the man walking on a huge cable? This is actually the Brooklyn Bridge. And this man is up there, and the police are going to pull him down. But he's on a huge, huge cable that suspends the bridge. Now, I want you to use your imagination. If you didn't bring it, I want you to borrow somebody else's right now, all right? And I want you to imagine you look to the left, and you look to the left and see the big cable coming through on the left. Oh, your left's over there, mine's over there. All right, so you decide wherever left is. It goes through the other wall and the other side. Are you confused now, Rick? Okay. And you see this cable, and it goes all the way around the world. Can you see it with your imagination? That's one huge cable, isn't it? All right. Now, what I want you to do then is to take a pencil. Maybe you can see on the screen the picture of the tip of a pencil. Can you see it there? Yeah, and the line. And draw that line on that cable. Can you just draw that line in your imagination with? Are you doing it? Okay. Now, that line represents your life on earth. And the cable represents the life that we have beyond. Now, if you're smart, are you going to prepare just for that little wee line, or are you going to prepare for eternity? You're going to prepare for eternity, you see. Now, think about how much time you spend worrying about things here and how little thought you have about preparing for eternity, you see. And this is why it's really important for us to take into reality or take into our minds the realities that we have. We prepare for eternity by storing up treasure in heaven. We'll talk about that, how we do that in a second. But some of you may have seen the bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys wins. Except that's stupid, right? Just plain stupid. Oh, am I allowed to say stupid? I said it. I'm sorry if I've offended somebody. But you see, the reality is, he who dies with the most toys dies and leaves everything behind, right? Everything. And so the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 that Ed Stein read for us says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And we know that these are realities. We might say it a little differently, but these are realities. But Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how in the world do we store up treasure in heaven? Do you have an idea? No, then it's a good thing you're here, right? And that you're listening instead of doing cartwheels like mom is. All right. And so we store up treasures by first of all opening up a heavenly bank account. And the only way we can open up a heavenly bank account is for the Lord Jesus to co-sign. And that what that means is we say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And then he is the one who opens the bank account. And then everything that we do that is right and good actually counts in the currency of heaven. Now, did you see the four young ladies who came up to talk about the project of helping people, homeless people? That's storing up treasure in heaven. And you were told about the opportunity to bring coats and stuff in. And we have so much stuff. Have you noticed that? And so we have wonderful opportunities to do good. Wonderful opportunities. And this is storing up treasure in heaven. And there's a really, really simple way to actually encompass what that means. It is living like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. When we live like this, this is how we store up treasure in heaven. Living like Jesus, living for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. It's actually very simple. And so the way of Jesus that I began introducing a couple of weeks ago gives us a really good handle on this. And you'll remember there these seven sayings. They are actually in a bulletin insert. And it first of all begins by opening the bank account. I've begun following Jesus. And I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. The second thing, and this is where it's very clear, for example, what we saw in the Christmas box opportunity that we've had, in what the young ladies presented this morning, is to bless others. And I've said this before, I'll have an opportunity to expand on this in subsequent Sundays, but listen, the door that we have to reach others is actually through the door of blessing. I began helping a young refugee woman from Sudan. And she says, why are you helping me? And my Arabic is about this big, smaller than an ant. But with her English, which is growing because she's doing ESL, I was able to explain that I was simply trying to bless her because of Esau. And you see, the Hebrew word, which I know, barak, barakah, is the same as the Arabic word. And so I could explain to her that I was doing this because Jesus wants me to bless her. Now, every one of us, I think, has had opportunities to bless somebody else, right? And if we took just a minute to talk about that, you'd say, oh, look at that. I'm actually storing up treasure in heaven. You see, there's a young lady here who leads a choir. What do you call the choir again?
Glister.
And talk about an opportunity to bless the singers, the children who are involved, and then those who hear. There's another opportunity of storing up treasure in heaven. And I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. We can never get past this one. If we try and get past this one, we are in trouble. And you think about most of the conflicts you have, they really relate to this matter. So I had a little episode with my wife. I won't tell you about my wife and me. It's a pretend couple, okay? And right now, this pretend couple, let's call them George and Alice. While George was away and Alice was in charge of the grandkids, because they happened to have the grandkids for a week, while Mom and Dad are away in Florida. Lord bless them and bless us too. Well, little William, 3 years old, was busy in George's, is that the name I gave him?
George, yeah. And Alice.
George and Alice. Okay, George, in George's room, and little William was tearing up something that he shouldn't be. And so when George came home, there was a bit of destruction. Thankfully, not too much. But then George says to Alice, "Hey, look what our grandchild William did." And then Alice says, "Oh, well, it must have been while I was looking after the baby." I said, "Well, great, but you could have closed the door." And then Alice says this very, very encouraging thing. And if this sounds like things that happen in your home, she says, "Well, you should have closed the door before you left." Now, I wasn't very happy. Oh, I'm sorry. George wasn't very happy with that answer. But you see, instead of continuing in what was really a pretty selfish mindset, thinking about me, poor me, poor me, I let it go. Why? Because Jesus is saying, you need to have my attitude, you see? And let's face it, when we live in family, there's always stuff that we have to let go. And if you don't know that yet, you haven't lived very long. There is always stuff. And so the Lord gives us the wonderful capacity to be like God himself in forgiving others. And I'm learning to love God and to love others. We won't talk about that or the teachings of Jesus, except to say that the entire Bible is the teaching of Jesus. And helping someone and someone helping me to be a reproducing follower of Jesus. When we help our children, we're actually helping them in a discipling process. But let's face it, friends, we are all committed to this opportunity. Yeah, go and play, do cartwheels, that's great. I'm glad that you're wandering away. And that's going to encourage all the people who are upstairs who fall asleep during the sermon about this time to come on down and pick up a crayon and color pictures. All right. And I am participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. That's why God calls us together as a body. Okay? It is not about, oh, finding something for me or my children. It is about understanding that we are on mission together. And when we change our attitude that it's really about Jesus and not about me, somehow everything is better. Have you noticed that? It really is. And so we are encouraged in Scripture to store up treasure in heaven. And it's actually very simple. Summary statement: living like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. When we live like that, that's how we store up treasure. Now, the Lord Jesus goes on to say something about the eye being the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, it so happens that what's in your eye is what you are looking at. And so when you are coveting something and saying, that's what I really want, or when you are looking at somebody in anger, that's what your eye is full of. And what does it do to you? It brings darkness into your soul, doesn't it? Okay? And so the Lord Jesus tells us to be careful, because our eyes really do indicate what's happening in us. Can people know when you're coveting something? Yeah, they do. Can people know by looking in your eyes when you're angry? Yes. Can people know when you're happy? Can the preacher know that you're still awake? Yes, he can. And you see, he ties it very clearly to this matter of who you serve. And so he talks about God, and it's really not money, it's mammon, the God of this world, of materialism, of what's in it for me, of covetousness, of the things I want instead of the things of God and what he wants. That's what he's talking about. And so this is a really good way for us to learn something about where we are in our own journey. What is our life full of, you see? Now, I brought Chevy along with me, my dog. He's in the study. I'll let him out after the service so that the children want to pat him. And a few adults can do it as well. But let's understand that Chevy's eye is full of his master. And if you've seen me around with him, you know that's the case. Because wherever I go, oh, there's Chevy. And if I stop, he lies down and he waits. If I move, guess what? He gets up and he moves on. Because his eye is full of his master. See? So what's your eye full of? Okay? What's your eye full of? Now, we can't spend too much time on here because I'm told we have to be finished by 3:00. Or we're going to have another fire drill. The next thing that the Lord Jesus talks about, and this really also relates to storing up treasure, is found in verse 25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? What do you think? Yes, it is. And in fact, it's when we are in dire straits, relying on our sick bed, that how much do you worry about clothes then? Not an awful lot. Okay? Worry is a bellwether. It's an early indicator of where we really are in our journey with the Lord, you see. When we fret about things, when we're anxious about things, yes, we need to be doing our due diligence with stuff. That's good, but that is different than worrying about what you cannot change or what you cannot control. No point worrying about that. Does it help? Jesus said, can your worrying change the span of your life? Can it change the color of your hair? Well, maybe. Yeah. Some of us are getting to the point where we can actually count our hairs as we look at our comb. Now, but you see, worry is a thief. It's a thief that prevents us from living like Jesus. We do what we can, but we cannot fix everything. You notice that? We have important things that we're all doing. I know that. But what's the point in worrying about the things that you don't have control over? Does it help? No? No, it doesn't help at all. But we do it. So what does this tell us? That we have our eye fixed in the wrong place. That our eye needs to be fixed on Jesus, because guess what? For him, everything's okay. Okay? Now, you're going to say, oh, well, Pastor, that's hard to do. I know, because I'm dealing with the same issues as you are. But I'm going to tell you that when you live like this, you live differently. You live differently. So you have an opportunity to do good to someone else. It's going to cost you some money. And I don't know what life is like for you, but here I am. We're looking after the grandkids, and that's good. But I'm just thinking about when you heart and never out of your pocketbook. And so we've noticed. Anybody else notice that? Yeah, that's the reality. Okay, and so then you're asking yourself, well, if I keep giving it away, then I'm not going to have anything. Well, yes, I need to be wise about this, but on the other hand, I need to be obedient to the Lord, who teaches us to be generous. And you see, the Lord Jesus says, if you run after these things about that have to do with security in this life, you are actually a pagan. That means an unbeliever, somebody who has not trusted the Lord. Yes, you work, you are industrious, you take care of business, but there is simply no point worrying. This is a really good indicator of where your faith is. And think about it, okay? So today, how many times are you going to choose to worry, right? Oh, you don't want to think about it. All right? But you and I know that we're going to choose to worry. But let me tell you that this is a really good indicator of where you are spiritually. So now we come to the summary statement that helps us really pull it all together. And this is in your outline, by the way, that I've distributed. That it is found in verse 33 of this chapter. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and guess what? God will look after all the rest. First things first. We've all heard the expression, looking after number one, and what do we mean? Ourselves. But you see, when you understand the reality of things, who needs to be number one? Jesus needs to be number one. If he isn't number one, if he isn't the Lord on the throne, your life is not going to make much sense. Okay? So, the promise of God after 54 years that he would never leave me or forsake me is true. I've been following Jesus for 54 years. Now, have I worried in that time? Yes, I have. Have I failed to store up treasure in heaven when I've had the opportunity? Yes, I have. But let me tell you that when I focus my attention on the Lord, when I put first things first, when I live like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus, it makes all the difference. Quite frankly, you wouldn't want me to be speaking to you unless I have had some experience in this, because I could not bring you any hope or any guidance. So the negative side is don't worry. Fine thing to say. But the positive side is seek first. And when you keep first things first, guess what? Everything flows. You don't put first things first, after a while it becomes a train wreck. Okay? Let's understand that to seek the kingdom is to seek the power and the presence of God. That's all that we're doing. Seeking the power and the presence of God. And I want to go through life with his power and with his presence. And that's a choice that I need to make. This is a command. And righteousness, this is not some kind of weird spiritual thing. This has got to do with the practical stuff of every day. And so let's understand that when you worry, or that when you do not put first things first, you worry. True. Any amens? I didn't hear you upstairs. Any amens? Oh, I almost heard you. At least I'll pretend. And second, you do not bless when you don't keep first things first. When you are looking for what you can get and what's in it for me, you are not giving what you can. Now, the other day in our prayer time, as Lynn Smith was leading us, she gave me a verse in Romans chapter 12 to read. One verse. And here was that one verse, all right, in which she said, the verse says, this is verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. But as I looked at the larger passage beginning with verse 9, here I see everything that Paul says that I, as a believer, ought to be doing in terms of attitude, in terms of behaviors, in terms of my character. And so it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And on he goes. And then he concludes in verse 21 with, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the thing that struck me was there is not a single time that Paul says, well, now that you've accepted Jesus, you are going to be really happy. Because you see, that's about self. Now, it is true that happiness does come. Joy does come. But it comes not by seeking after joy, but by following after Jesus. Now, I got to refer to my dog again. My dog is a very happy dog, but not because he's seeking happiness. He's a very happy dog because he follows his master. You see? So let's make sure that we keep our eye fixed in the right place. And we will discover the extraordinary thing that God wants to do. Now, sometimes I hear people saying, my heart needs to be healed. Yes, it does. But your heart needs to be healed by focusing on Jesus, not by focusing on healing. Because quite frankly, I don't know how you get that healing unless you focus on Jesus. Now, if this sounds rather vague, well, again, look at the list that we have in Romans chapter 12, because you see, this is the outworking of living like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. And here's the spiritual paradox. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, not only in the next life, but right now. Because, you see, when you focus on self, that has a way of killing. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. And God surprises us with joy. And God surprises us with peace when we keep him first. When we give, it's remarkable how we receive from God. Now, some of you will know the name Jim Elliot, well known as a missionary martyr who in 1954 was killed by the Alka Indians when he and four other men were trying to reach them. These were headhunters, and they were trying to share the good news of Jesus. They were misunderstood. They lost their lives. But here is what Jim Elliot had said as a young man. No man is a fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And friends, we're going to have to give up everything here, right? We're going to lose it all, okay? But when we store up treasure in heaven, nobody and nothing can take that away from us. So how do we store up treasure in heaven? By living like Jesus, for Jesus, and the power of the Spirit of Jesus. You want to try saying that with me? Upstairs. Are you following? Okay, together. Like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. God bless you as you store up treasure in heaven. Thank you for doing so much already. But let's understand what it is that we're actually involved in. What brings richness and quality, purpose and fulfillment in our lives. And it is not when we focus on ourselves. It's when we focus on others. Thank God for the gift of children, for our children often remind us of the need to be unselfish, right? Absolutely. Thank God for the fact that we have other people in need. And when we stretch and we say, Lord, I can't do it in myself, but help me, how much richer our lives are as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for journeying with me through this text today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you did not simply abandon us to our selfishness, but that, Lord, you broke in. You left the riches of heaven for our sake, and you showed us the way, and you took the way of the cross, and you showed us that it is as we lose our lives that we actually gain our lives. And you took the ultimate step of shedding your life so that your spiritual DNA could actually infiltrate and infuse our very beings. And Lord, we admit that we are on this journey and we're still not very good at it. And that's why we say, I am learning to be like Jesus, because we're not there yet. But Lord, thanks thanks for so many good examples. Thank you for what you have been busy doing in the lives of so many who are part of this congregation, not only the adults, but the youth and the children as well. And what we would ask is that you would help us this week, in this journey, in our journey, to be investing for eternity by investing in others, by bringing the good of Jesus to others. Thanks again, O Lord, that your word is here. It is living and powerful, and your Spirit will apply it to our hearts and lives. We give ourselves to you in the beautiful and glorious name of our blessed Savior, who shed his lifeblood for us. Amen.